This is Janine Spurgeon, and today is September 3rd, 2020. I'm talking to Joanna Sproul, who is a new mother and a resident of Plainfield, Indiana, and she's going to talk about her experiences during the COVID-19 pandemic. Hello, Joanna.
Hello, Janine.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good. I guess we'll just jump in, and I'll ask you the first question. What were your thoughts when you first learned about the virus? And were you pregnant at the time?
I was pregnant, yes. I first learned about the virus probably at the end of 2019, and it was very peripheral. I just remember hearing about there being something in China and it being some sort of disease or virus, and I didn't think another thing about it. The next time I remember having it on my radar, I was about halfway through my pregnancy, so close to 20 weeks, I went to get an in-depth ultrasound, and I talked to a doctor that day, and I'd heard a little bit more about it, and I mentioned it to her, and she said it was, you know, she was not concerned at all, and I, of course, was starting to get just the beginning of my concerns about it, and she just kind of said, you know, we learn so much every day, and you know, it's amazing what science can do. And she kind of brushed it off as something not to worry about. So that was kind of my first bit, and that would have been early February.
So how have your thoughts changed since then?
Well, since that second ultrasound in February, I followed it a little closer, and my sister, who stays up on current events, she and I talked about it pretty regularly through February. We would go back and forth, her being really concerned and then me not being concerned, and then she was not so concerned and then I would be really concerned. We kind of traded places every time we talked about it, and the closer we got to March, the more we talked about it as the main topic. And I remember talking to a coworker of ours, Crystal Hellman, about it and asking her if she was concerned about it because she had just given birth to her little girl, Bernadette, and she wasn't concerned and her doctor wasn't concerned. And I remember thinking, oh, that's really good. But it wasn't jiving at the same time from the spread that I was watching in Europe and Italy. So right around, I would say between the 1st of March through March 10th, I did a ton of reading and following of coronavirus, and that's when I started shifting into high gear, knowing that it was going to be here and not too long.
When did you give birth?
I gave birth June 26th.
Oh, okay. So we were done with the lockdown and everything then. So you got to do the lockdown super pregnant, right?
I was, yes, gearing up to be in my final trimester. So we locked down, library shut down March 13th, and yeah, so about 3 months of my pregnancy was in a lockdown situation, for me at least, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so another question is, how was your birth experience? I guess you haven't given birth before, so you really can't compare, but were there any special protocols that they used or anything crazy different?
Well, as far as being pregnant and giving birth, so we were not allowed to have anyone else go with us to any appointments. So like seeing ultrasounds and stuff like that, Ben could not go with me. And I had to FaceTime him to do ultrasounds so that he could see the little baby. so he would be in the parking lot while I FaceTimed him. So that was kind of weird and rough. And I think that kind of made it difficult for both of us. And then as far as also some of my appointments were canceled, they started spreading them out. Ones that they would normally do, they spread them out so that pregnant women didn't have to go in quite as often, which is good, but also kind of hard because you, as a first-time mom, really want to know all the information, you know,
definitely.
How's the heart rate now and, you know,
uh-huh.
All that stuff. So that was another thing. But the actual birth experience, I was pretty prepared for that. The main thing that was different for me than for other moms outside of a pandemic is that we had to wear face masks. going into the hospital. I gave birth at Hendricks Regional in Danville, and had to wear a face mask. Ben had to wear one as well. He was the only other person that could go in with me. I couldn't have anyone but one person go with me. And there was concern for a little while that it would only be me, depending on how badly COVID spread. But thankfully, he was able to be with me. So once we got into the room, we were told we could take our masks off and we could, you know, move around freely. But if we left the room, we had to wear our masks. But that was another thing they told us. We really shouldn't leave the room. As soon as we entered, we were in that room till we left and were discharged.
And how long were you there?
I went in on the 25th around noon, and I gave birth on the 26th. I was there the 26th, 27th, discharged the 28th.
Nice. So everything went fine then, huh?
Yeah, it was a great birth experience. I went naturally until 9 centimeters and stalled at 9 for 5 hours without any meds, and I cried uncle at that point. I got epidural and Pitocin and bada bing, bada boom. Had a little baby girl, didn't know she was a girl, and it was the best surprise of our lives.
You, I think, are the first person that I've interviewed now that has actually had the virus. So I kind of wanted to talk about that. Would you tell us what your symptoms were?
Honestly, I got a little bit of congestion in the back of my throat about 5 days after I was exposed. Didn't know at the time, of course. Just felt like you kind of want to clear your throat a bunch. But it never really did anything or came up or went away or anything. And I just assumed, you know, that's my allergies. So the day that I was diagnosed with COVID, that the test results came back positive, literally an hour before I got that positive, I got a little feeling in my throat, the feeling that you get if you swallow like a chip and a little bit gets stuck in your throat. And it just kind of, every now and then you swallow and you feel that. I started getting that right before that diagnosis, and I still have it, but it doesn't happen very often where I feel it. I would say I don't even know how many times in a day, not that often, but enough that I know that it's part of it. And then I also got a little heaviness in my chest, feeling like my lungs were perhaps struggling a little, though I had no problems breathing or catching my breath. I wasn't short of breath or anything. And that I'm still not positive that it was negative effects of COVID or if it was anxiety, knowing I had COVID and a brand new baby girl and, you know, reading everything online about what happens to the body, you know, it could be anxiety.
When were you diagnosed?
So I was diagnosed on August 26th. I got my test on the 24th. So that was a Monday that I got the test. 26th was when I got the diagnosis. That was a Wednesday. And then the day that I actually was exposed was August 17th, which was the previous Monday. And my first symptoms started that Friday, the 21st. Again, I wasn't even really thinking of them as symptoms, but I just, since I knew so soon, I could kind of pinpoint it.
Well, tell us about how you contracted it. That's the most interesting thing.
Yeah. So it was that Monday. I was out on my front porch nursing Maggie, and a neighbor stopped by at the opposite end of the front porch, and she just wanted to catch up on a few things, and we chatted about 15 feet away from each other, and I don't know how long it was. I'll say 15 minutes just to kind of, it wasn't 5 minutes, it wasn't 30 minutes, it was probably close to that. And, you know, we chatted, we talked, and that was that. And she's the only person I've come in contact with at that point besides my husband.
And so your husband is tested negative, so there's no way, you could have gotten it from him.
Exactly. And that's the wild thing is you would think it would be him. He's working, he's out in the world, and he's actually, I mean, he's working at a hospital, but it's not a functioning hospital yet. It's being built. So I don't know. I assumed if and when we did get it, it would be through him, you know, not me.
You see on the news, you know, they say, you know, have your mask on, stay 6 feet away, but I guess 6 feet's just not going to do it.
I think 6 feet is just an arbitrary number that some person in a room somewhere picked. I don't think it's a real good guideline other than don't be up on top of someone. And I think that masks really do make a difference. They keep your particles, anything coming out of your mouth and nose to you and not spreading, at least not as far and wide as they could if you didn't have a mask. So
right.
Had she worn a mask, had I worn a mask, you know, I think that would have hopefully helped. I mean, we'll never know.
You're outside, you're so far apart. I mean, why would you even think about wearing a mask, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing about COVID is I've told anyone, it's like COVID is a Trojan horse of a virus. If she had not told me that she was COVID positive, and if I had not thought, 15 feet, you know, that's over 6 feet. If I had just let it go, I would never know. I would never know, Janine.
That's true.
I had not taken an extra step towards, you know, trying to be careful and responsible.
I think that's just huge that you got that, like that, really easily like that. Especially with school starting now and everything opening up. At least there's a mask mandate, I guess.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to ask everybody is, during that 2 months that we were locked down in our houses, what did you do for entertainment?
What did I do for entertainment? My husband and I got Netflix. we had gotten rid of it a while ago, trying to just get rid of stuff that we didn't really need so much. But, man, did we need entertainment. We needed something because it was really kind of depressing and just the unknown. We needed something to entertain ourselves. So we had heard and seen on social media this documentary called The Tiger King.
Ah, yes.
And we saw everyone raving, so we're like, all right, let's get Netflix. And I'm so glad we did, because that really did pull us out of our woe is me, what is the world coming to.
I've heard other people, they rewatch old beloved series that they used to watch to overcome their anxiety, too.
Yep. Having something get lost in that wasn't social media and all the gloom and doom of pandemic was really helpful. I also listened to a lot of true crime podcasts, so I did that too. Yeah.
How are you managing day-to-day activities? I guess you don't leave the house much.
Nope, I don't. My main job right now is keeping Maggie alive and safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here unless she has a doctor's appointment, which she's under quarantine, so she can't go anywhere till the 10th right now. So we really are kind of still on sort of lockdown. Yeah.
And when do you think you will step out or, you know, join the rest of the world? I mean, when will you feel like you're safe enough?
That is the question, I think, for everyone is when. I don't know if anyone feels safe enough to do the things that they're doing, but you have to. Like,
right.
I'm going to be back at work on the 17th of this month. So that's when I will be out in the world. If I did not have a job, I probably would stay locked down until this is figured out, however long that took.
Do you think you'll take extra precautions when you start working? I mean, coming home from work, you know, seeing your new baby, how's that going to be?
So, yeah, my husband, when he works, he comes home, undresses, takes a shower, and comes to join me and Maggie. So that is going to be similar to what we do. She's going to be going to Allison Stevenson. She's going to be watching her throughout the day. So we'll be very careful wearing masks and taking her from daycare home and doing the same sort of making sure that we take her clothes off and get clean and have new fresh clothes so that we can be around her, because we really don't want her to get infected.
Have you heard anything about babies being infected?
Yeah, I have, and from everything that I have heard is that they don't do badly is what I keep hearing. But if you recall, we were told that this is only a virus that really affects old people.
Right.
And see how quickly that changed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who has had COVID. More than likely, it's never been diagnosed because when she got it, it was early and they didn't have tests. And she has lasting effects from that, and she's 33. So I don't trust, not that experts don't know what they're saying, I just think it's too early to know,
right.
Truly.
You are big in the community. You're involved in lots of organizations and all that. So you're a good source for asking, how do you think Henry's County, Plainfield in particular, has responded to the virus? Do you think everyone's been responsible? Do you think the government's come up with some good programs?
Well, I will tell you, I think the lack of leadership on a national level has affected local leadership. There's not a good common sense national leader right now. So our local leaders are scrambling to find what's best for everyone. And we do live in a very conservative community where people take their freedom and their liberty very seriously. And therefore, a lot of the policies and rules around this focus on you decide what's good for you. You decide if you feel comfortable doing X, Y, or Z, you know, going out in the community. I keep hearing people say, well, if you're scared, stay home. And I think that there's a misconception that people that are taking this seriously and staying inside and keeping their distance, that they are afraid. I think that it, more than anything, is people trying to have a social responsibility and making sure that we're all staying safe and healthy. We know somebody who died from COVID, and, you know, who knows, that could have easily been prevented had more people taken this seriously. And if our community leaders who decide things had said, you know, hey, we need to take this more seriously, wear our masks, and do this earlier, that could have been prevented.
Do you think that the school system is being responsible by going back to school so soon?
So I think that the schools are also in that position where they don't make those decisions. It's the state leaders that make the decision. It's not local so much. And there is funding that is on the line, too, which I'm not saying that that's why schools are opening, but it's definitely a catch-22 of what to do in a lot of ways. Parents have to work. Kids have to learn. How do you do that in a pandemic, keeping kids home? So I think that they are doing the best they can. And I think it is the hardest decision for parents whether or not to send them to school or do e-learning. I don't know if there's a right answer on that one, truly.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a right answer for anything, frankly.
I agree.
Has COVID-19 changed your relationships with family, friends, and the community?
Yes. I think COVID has actually strengthened our relationship with my family. I'm much more communicative daily. When we were in the actual lockdown for Indiana, I talked to my dad and FaceTime my sister multiple times a day, which I didn't do before this. I don't even know how often we would talk or text, but it was not daily. Now it's consistently daily, many times throughout the day, keeping each other up to date on what's going on. My dad is very much being careful, and he's isolated. You know, he lives alone and doesn't have a lot of human interaction. So we're doing our very best to make sure that he's doing all right and getting social interaction, at least through the phone or FaceTime.
What ways do you think that the virus is affecting people's mental health?
I think it's huge. I think mental health is going to be so deeply set in people's psyche for really long, long time, like our lifetimes. I think that this will affect everyone for the rest of their lives mentally. I think that there will probably be, just on the germ factor, I think that this will maybe create more OCD tendencies in some people, kids maybe. I think that that's something that will probably come from this. I think being isolated and fearful of maybe not just COVID, but any kind of disease might make more people isolated in their lives. Depression, anxiety, I mean, look at the unemployment. It's like, I forget what it is right now, but it's unbelievable. I want to say it's like 50 million Americans. It's hard to believe. And when you're in a state that you don't know how you're going to make it, how you're going to survive, that really is heavy. And I think depression and anxiety are just the norm for so many now.
What have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
Social media is where I've gotten most of my news. but I typically read CNN, NBC, MSNBC, things along those lines, Washington Post. I'll search for specific things related to the virus. That's pretty much where I get the news. We don't have cable, so social media is where I get a lot of it. And then my sister does a lot of research, being a librarian, and she gives me a lot of information to read up on as well.
Do you think the media is covering the pandemic well or not?
I think that the media is doing a good job. I think that they did the right thing by focusing on how very quickly and easily this can spread, because a lot of people didn't know, and the media was the first to alert people to that in, you know, local years, and tell anyone. It was the media, especially overseas, when this was really kicking off. I think that they did a good job at least portraying how very serious and easily this is spread.
Like you said, there's a bit of a problem on the national level.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the local leaders here have been more competent in their response?
I don't know if they've been more competent. I think they've done the best they can. Again, it comes from the top down. And if the people that you're looking to, if you're a leader and you're looking to the next leader that you're supposed to be looking to, and you're not getting anything from them, it just leaves a lot of leaders grasping at straws to figure out what's best to do. I do know that Hendricks County has been working, all of the town managers have worked together to try to make sure that we're all on the same page. Same with the school superintendents. They have all been working together to try to make sure that everyone's moving forward in a similar fashion. Mm-hmm. So I think in that respect, it's doing the best that they can. I think on a little more of a individual town perspective, it's a little questionable, or as leadership goes there, because different people and groups and organizations are in charge of different things. An example is they are filming a movie in Danville, and it's supposed to be a pretty big, like, festival atmosphere movie, and according to our current state rules and also county, that can happen. It's a 250 people situation where it's groups of 250 or less. So at least it was last I knew. It might have changed, but you know, that's going to happen. And who knows if they're wearing masks? I can't imagine masks are going to be part of a movie unless they're making it in the current day and time, but that's kind of interesting. And then currently I'm on the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, and they're in charge of Quaker Day Parade, and we're voting right now on whether or not to have that in 2 weeks. And last year, a huge parade that finally got back on Main Street had around 3,000 in attendance, and there's people on the board that really want it to happen and think our community needs it, and, you know, it's really important. And there are other people who have a lot of responsibility for health and wellness of people in the community that are saying, no, this is the time to not do that. Of all times in history, this is not it.
That is very interesting. So, what do you think?
Believe
will
me, I agree.
But what do you think will happen? Do you know? I mean, what does it seem like is going to happen?
Well, officially, I don't know what will happen. We're going to find out today. I think there are enough people that have a conservative, my freedoms are, you know, I decide what's best for me. You can stay home if you want to. I think there are enough people that are thinking in that mindset that it will likely happen. They have created a plan with county health department to mitigate risk, which I don't think it's a wise decision personally, but it's being voted on. And I'll tell you, I voted no. I was the first to say no, and I gave examples, and I said, I'm COVID positive, and this is how easily I got it outside.
Exactly.
You know, and think about all the places you've gone where you've seen people not wearing masks. I mean, I'm not out there that much, but I've seen it on social media, and I've heard it from friends and family that there are people that just don't wear the mask.
Yeah.
So,
and they're not going to outside at a parade. You're absolutely right.
Right.
And I think you would be the perfect person to say, you guys, this is not a good idea. I hope they listen to you.
Mm-hmm. I will say I'm very thankful for the people who voted no so far, but I don't know what the final decision will be until later today.
One more question. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future? What do you think is the main takeaway from this for people who are going to be looking at this, be looking back at this?
I would say listen to experts.
Ooh, those are dirty words.
I know. Listen to people that know things that you don't know, and also be cautious in that information, but also, I don't know, there's just so much information coming from different directions. I think that it's important to listen to the people that study this sort of thing, infectious diseases. I knew very early, like I told you back in February, that this is a respiratory virus, and I knew then masks were going to be a part of the future. I just did. And I think that so many people did not pick up on the respiratory part of virus, that they just thought, oh, hand washing and disinfecting the groceries and all that sort of stuff, that's going to do it, and staying 6 feet apart. I don't know. You need to listen to experts, but also kind of read between the lines a little bit. You know, it's for something you never experienced in your lifetime, and, you know, your parents have never experienced in their lifetime. You really have to drink it all in and try to distill it for yourself.
Well, thank you so much. That was a great interview. Lots of information. I'm sure that people find it very interesting.
All right. Thanks so
much. Take care of yourself. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.